Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. For our chalice lighting this morning, I'd like us to do one that many of you may know with hand motions. And it goes like this. And if you don't know it, watch a kid and they'll be able to tell you how to do it. We light our chalice to celebrate Unitarian Universalism. This is the Church of the Open Mind. This is the Church of the Helping Hands. And this is the Church of the Loving Heart. Great. And we'll do that tomorrow, and you'll all know it by heart then.
Wake up, my spirit.
Wake up, my spirit.
Welcome the moment. Wake up, my spirit. Welcome the moment. The moment is now.
Good morning. Our opening words are from Mark Nepo. With our hands full of groceries and our heads full of things to do, our hearts full of memories and our dreams full of plans, we tend to think if we could just get away or finish crossing those things off of our list, if we could only undo what has been done or do what needs to be done, then we might live completely. But we are human beings, flawed, colorful human beings that eat plans and memories for food. We are rare, not perfect. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, which is Enter, Rejoice, and Come In. And try to settle our hearts and minds down for a spirit of meditation and prayer. If God is your strength and companion, the means of centering your thoughts, there is room for you here. If the teachings of the Buddha give you clarity and calm in the midst of human striving, there is room for you here. If Gaia's seasonal rhythms lead you through the myriad steps of life's great dance, there is room for you here. If the still, mysterious capacity and power of the mind stirs your imagination and quickens your heart, there is room for you here. Let us rest now beside that spring, wherever it is for you, and let your imagination and your attention go to the small place inside, and let us stay in that silence for a moment. Our reading this morning is from Amelia Baxter, and it's part of the NPR series, This I Believe. She writes, "I believe in semi-permanent hair dye." I do too. "The kind that lets you have a few wacky, purple-headed weeks in the depressing months of winter term, but leaves you plain and brunette again in time for graduation pictures. The kind that lets you be whoever you want without letting go of how you got there. The kind that lets you embrace those internal contradictions that make up an entire oxymoronic, complex, complete human being. I believe in hypocrisy, just a little." Semi-permanent hair dye is about finding security within unlimited freedom. It's about recognizing what I have in my life and holding on to it, even if only at the base of a follicle, because I also believe in roots. Now, my mother always tells me that the hair color that you're born with is the one that looks best on you. And I want to make sure that there's something inside of me that's always going to be worth returning to. Maybe the house I lived in with my parents will never be home for me again. And maybe I'll fall out of touch with the people I thought I was really close to in high school. And maybe I'll hate the way a darker brown washes me out. But I'll know that in 20 to 26 washes, I'll come back to something I've had naturally forever. And I'll know that it looks pretty good. But here's where the hypocrisy comes in. Every time you get away from home, thinking how you're going to reinvent yourself, you end up hanging on to those things about yourself that you're the most familiar. Feeling safe isn't about setting limits on the outside. It's about hanging on to dear life to what's on the inside, no matter how you change the context. Because honestly, you'll never know whether you look fantastic as a redhead unless you've tried. What you will know is that you have brown to return to when you're ready.
This is a song by Pat Humphreys called Swimming to the Other Side. We are living beneath the great Big Dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming stream together, some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. I'm alone and I am searching, hungering for answers in my time. I am balanced on the brink of wisdom. I'm impatient to receive a sign. I move forward with my senses open. Imperfection, it will be my crime. In humility, I will listen. We're all swimming to the other side. On this journey through thoughts and feelings, binding intuition, my head, my heart, I am gathering the tools together. I'm preparing to do my part. All those who have come before me, band together and will be my guide. Loving lessons that I will follow. We're all swimming to the other side. When we get there, we'll discover all of the gifts we've been given to share. Been there with since life's beginning, and we never noticed they were there. We can balance on the brink of wisdom, never recognizing that we've arrived. Loving spirits will live together. We're all swimming to the other side. So do you know the first verse? It goes, we are living beneath the great Big Dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together. Some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side.
For centuries, African Bushmen have greeted each other in a particular way. When one becomes aware of his brother or sister, and they're coming out of the brush, he exclaims, "I see you." And then the one approaching rejoices, "I am here." Now that's both simple and profound, for with this simple and direct affirmation, it is possible to claim our own presence, to say, "I am here." Those people in our lives who have validated our personhood by seeing us and exclaiming so are the foundations of our self-worth. It's important to note that being seen enables us to claim our own lives, and then it becomes possible to pass that gift on to others. But just as important as bearing witness to the joy that those Bushmen proclaim from what they see, it is the joy of first seeing and then first knowing. That's a gift of love. In a culture that often erases its humanity, we are sorely in need of being seen with joy. So we can proclaim that of all the amazing things that could have been or not, we are here. As far back as I remember, says Mark Nepo, people of the oldest tribes, unencumbered by civilization, have been rejoicing that they are on earth together. Not only can we do this for each other, it is essential because our vitality depends on how we exclaim and rejoice and say, I see you. I am here. Let's say that together. I see you. I am here. So I think it's pretty nice to hear about a culture that is keen on being seen when so much of our culture is spent being encouraged not to stand out. After all, it's often easier to conform. Some of you may have grown up with the warning that I did whenever you stepped out of the house. What will the neighbors think? Conforming was what you were supposed to do, at least where I grew up. But in today's environment, seeing things from all perspectives and in all of our glorious diversity is now almost required to operate in this multicultural world. Decades ago, psychologist Charles Seashore had already seen this coming, and he said, at work and at home and in our communities, our satisfactions are increasingly tied to our skills in building relationships with a wide variety of people, not just those who share our own perspectives. Now, fortunately, Unitarian Universalists knew this a long time ago, and we've always believed in the worth and dignity of every person, because we believe and we encourage individuals to be themselves. We want people to be seen. We want to be seen. Although sometimes, just sometimes, we have to admit, I hope, that we might see someone else and say, gee, their life looks just a little bit better than mine. Just a little bit. Looks a little more exciting. Or we think, I like how they talk, or I like how they dress. And they want to be part of that group of people that they're attracted to. So rather than saying, I see you and I am here, they say, I see you and I'd kind of like to be like you. We do it. It's okay. You know. But in this community, I hope we don't do it very often. To fit in, you shouldn't have to alter yourself, right? Not here, especially. So belonging to a community like this means you don't have to change to be part of this. Is that right? Okay. What you do have to say to belong here is, here I am. This is me. This is the true me. So author and researcher Brené Brown says that for real connection between people, what we try to do here all week, is we must say, I'm all in. Okay? Being all in means that you are accepted as is. You've heard that phrase we use all the time at church, you know, come as you are. Okay? So being all in means you just come as you are. You are the authentic you. And being all in also means that you share with one another the story of you. It means you're willing to share your true self, the unique you, the one that gives you peace, the one that you feel most in harmony with the universe, the one that makes you feel real. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily easy. It can be scary to plunge in and expose our true selves, right? Author Eknath S. Warren gives us an example of how terrifying it can be to go out into the world and do what we have to do. And he uses penguin hatchlings as an example as they take their first frosty steps into penguinhood. This is what he writes about them. He says, penguins hatch in a craggy Antarctic rookery high above frigid waters. And for some time, they're protected by their parents. And then when it comes time for those little cute little things to grow up, the parents simply leave. And so the first day or so, the penguins get kind of hungry. And the second day, they're a little hungrier. And by the third day, they can't stand it anymore. They're really, really hungry. And finally, one of the fledglings waddles over to the edge of the cliff and kind of peers down. And it's a long ways down there. And the waves are crashing down there. And it's all frothy and white and cold looking. And he must have known that he's going to survive if he goes down there, because there's food down there. But his instincts tells him the opposite. No, I'm not going down there. But then, somehow he knows, with his stomach growling, I've got to do it. I have to be my true penguin-ness. I have to do it. So the same one goes over to the edge again. This time, with one brave leap, he hurls himself into the air. Now remember, it's not graceful, it's all the way down into the water, splash, and there's this agonizing pause. And then up bobs his bright eyes, little sheepish grin, and he's churning his wings and moving his tail. And he's swimming all of a sudden, and it's graceful, and it's beautiful. And he's at last at home, and he is now in his true penguinhood. He's an authentic penguin. And he squawks up of his friends, come on down, it's great. And they're like, we're not going down there. No, mm-mm. And eventually, hunger wins out, and two or three decide, okay, fine, and they take the plunge as well. The others find their way down, those rocks, and they get down to the lowest possible ledge, and then a wave comes and then pushes them into the sea. Eventually, the sea rises, and all of them get washed in, whether they like it or not. Even knowing that something's going to be good for you, or almost you have to do it to survive, showing your authentic self is going to be a huge leap. And some of us are going to go over the edge. First thing, we're just going to jump in. We're going to be all in. As soon as this is over, you're all in. And then some of us are going to kind of wade in slowly. And that's okay. But one of the ways we are going to get to know each other and our true selves this week is we're doing something which I think most of you have heard about, is kind of our SI version of StoryCorps. Is everybody familiar with StoryCorps from NPR, kind of? Yeah, so I'm going to explain it. So this is what's going to happen. Beginning tomorrow, every morning at morning worship, we're going to see some videos, and they're going to be of all of you telling your stories. Now, there's going to be some parameters. There's going to be some themes that you need to stick to. But every afternoon, we're going to be recording people. Totally up to you. You don't have to do it. Okay? voluntary. But either an individual or a pair can come down and be recorded, and then the next morning we're going to do some snippets, and you'll see them during the morning worship, and they'll have to do with the theme for every day. Today we're going to do that at 1:30, and you just kind of go through this door and then all the way downstairs, and I think we're going to put up some signs so people know how to get there. And we'll ask you some questions, and you can answer. And if you want to do it in pairs, we'll do that so that the one person can ask questions and the other answers, and then we'll switch. And we will have announcements about each day because we're going to kind of change it, not always at 1:30. So if you've got something you want to do at 1:30, you can come another day at a different time. We're going to announce those questions here and in other places around the campus so that you know what's coming up. And by recording in the afternoon, and now I'm talking to people who aren't actually here, I'm hoping that we get a chance to include some demographics that sleep in the morning. I don't know who those people are, but I was told that we might get some folks. So I want to encourage all ages to do this. Parents, I encourage you, the littlest littles, okay, all ages, I want to do this. So even tiny tinies, let's do this, and you can do it as a family. So adults, please feel free to help them out. Now, this afternoon's question will air tomorrow morning. And here's the question. Y'all ready? I'll repeat it later, too. But do we have any truths in Unitarian Universalism? That's the question. Or are there any truths about being in a UU community like this? So you can kind of one or the other or both. Okay? That's the question. And I do ask that when you answer your question, you're all in. You're honest. You're your authentic self. Even when it's scary to share your story. Because I want to see you, they want to see you, and we all want to be seen, right? So I'm just going to ask you real quick, last question. Are we all in?
Yes.
What? Come on. One more time. Are we all in?
Yes.
Okay. Because whoever you are, we welcome you. And boy, does it feel good when people see who you really are. Even if it's a free-range minister. I kid you not, I had this before that free-range minister thing came up yesterday, so it's just, you know, it's kismet. So let's rise in body and spirit, or spirit, and sing together Building Bridges.
So I'd like to introduce you to a little bit more syncopated version of this song. I'll sing it once, and then you can all, I'll ask that you all join me. It goes like this. Building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, friends, we could make sweet harmony. So first of all, you just got to shake it out a little bit. That's right, Trish. One, two, ready and go.
Building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our vision, friends, we could make such sweet harmony.
Very nice. So we'll try it as a two-part round now. The congregation down here will begin, and then everyone in the balcony will sing the second part.
One, two, ready and go. Building bridges between our divisions. Building bridges between our divisions.
Building bridges
between our divisions. I reach out to you, will you reach out to me with all of our voices and all of our needs? Friends, we could make such sweet harmony.
I'm not proud. I'm all in. This is what you're going to get this week. I hope you like it. Our closing words are from David Rankin. To be human is to be in touch with the larger rhythms and harmonies of the universe. To be human is to be aware of the beauty of a creation that continually unfolds. To be human is to be the servants of the earth upon which our existence depends. And to be human is to embrace the present moment as a sacred, joyful occasion. To be human is to nurture bridges of intimacy that are global and inclusive. To be human is to be in a state of process, to live and to love and to never die. Go in peace.
As we prepare to leave this place, we extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of our community, or the fire of our commitment.
Good morning, everybody. So this is the morning of firsts and the day of firsts. This is our first morning worship. We're going to have our first theme speak, theme talk. Our children will have their first RE classes. You will have your first seminars, your first workshops. This is the beginning. Yesterday was getting here. Today is SI begins. As I said, I'm going to be thanking people through the week, and because this is especially exciting for our children, this is the beginning of the RE week. I wanted to thank our RE team. So we have three RE coordinators. Kat Gibbons and Kim Mosiowski are here, and I also want to acknowledge Carolyn Stevens, who served as the third RE coordinator this year in the planning stages. Due to some medical issues, she is not able to join us, but she is in our thoughts. She is not only the RE coordinator for SI, she is the administrator at our church, and I know what she's going through, and we were sending meals to her house, and now she's sending meals to my wife. Like, you just, you know, the woman will not rest, but she did not make it here. And I believe Wendy Bartlett has moved from floater in the RE program to helping out with their coordination. I also want to acknowledge Chris Thomas, who's on my board and I introduced last night, but she is the RE liaison and also has done yeoman's work getting that program together. So thanks to everybody in RE as you are in your seminars peacefully learning yoga or, you know, some weird theology thing and not having your children there saying, when can we go? This is boring. Just remember to thank the RE people. If you are living in Cannes and are having trouble with the air conditioning, there are ways to deal with the air conditioning. Ask around, and if you can't get an answer, then find some, you know, one of my brown bag people. I am in Cannes, so I've got the memo of how to do that if you want to flag me down. People in apartments with needs for materials in the bathroom area. Those materials will be in the CSIC office. You can pick them up, but things have been ordered, and we should be able to resupply you. Generally speaking, if you have a problem with your apartment or with something else that is facilities related, that where a call needs to be made to Oberlin College, we are asking that you go through Liz Bright, because that way they are only hearing from one person. First of all, we're in the loop for everything, and second, their phone isn't blowing up with 1,000 people telling them the same thing because there's the same bathroom in the same dorm that is backed up. Two ways to get in touch with Liz. One is find a brown messenger bag person and say, I've got a dorm room problem. The other is her number, and we will get this out on social media, but if you want to write it down now, it's 330-283-6051. This was the job I had last year, and I would just say, be merciful. It's, you know, she will be working really, really hard. We work hard to turn these things around. Oberlin is very responsive, but they do have staff that has to get there. So just understand that. If you are Eva Beale, Maddie Travis, Kurt Griffin, or John Graham, I have a replacement name tag for you. You might not know that they did a replacement name tag because there was a mistake on your name tag, but the registration people did, and I have it. So feel free to see me between worship and theme speech or after theme speech. A couple of things I just want to highlight on the schedule because they're a little out of the usual flow of things. Children's Choir is 12:45 here at First Church. And also, just a very special plug, we're doing this for the first time, the World Cafe, which is about the future of SI. SI is growing, and we have not necessarily taken into account that growth as we plan it year to year. And so we really need to have some intentional conversations about what SI is, where it's going, what we want it to be. We have three sessions going the next 3 days, each at a different time. Tonight's is 6:15. It's at the Fellowship Hall at the other end of the church. The Reverend Renee Ryshatsky is leading them. We thank her for her good work on this. Really encourage people to come to at least one of them. This is your chance to have your voice heard about your SI. Reverend Buchanan has a poultry-related announcement.
I'm actually here to announce a spontaneous new workshop on weird chicken theology. I want to correct a misimpression last night. There are three ministers who are chaplains. We also have two young adult chaplains. One of them is Caitlin Ballinger. Can you stand up for a second, Caitlin? And the other is Caleb Thurman. I don't know if Caleb, are you in the house? Sorry?
He's not here.
Okay. He's the other young adult chaplain. The chaplain numbers are all on the mobile website, our phone numbers. If your SI is confusing and exciting and all sorts of things, and if things aren't going as you had hoped, and perhaps you're feeling down for some reason or you're unsure, please contact a chaplain through one of those numbers. We'd be happy to talk to you, okay? And if you're not sure which chaplain to call, call any of us and we'll sort it out for you. Thank you.
The last thing I have is we are adding something to the schedule. Just before we all came here, the Supreme Court decided the momentous decision on marriage equality in Obergefell versus Hodges. And we did not want that going unremarked during the week. We will have a brief acknowledgement and celebration of Obergefell here in the sanctuary Thursday, the late afternoon session, which is 3:15. It will be... if you followed the Facebook discussion, there was talk of doing like a mass vow renewal or something like that. And as we went through the various ideas, we realized that we don't want to just make it about couples that are couples right now. We want it to be more inclusive than that. So there will be, we will have a number of ministers sharing briefly. We will have some other material, and there will be a chance for people to speak up as well. Fairly informal, separate from worship, but we wanted to have some opportunity for the community to celebrate this, since it really touches, I think it touches everybody in the community. This is something that is near and dear to you, and if you don't know, the lead case, Obergefell versus Hodges, came out of Ohio, and the lead attorney is a UU from Cincinnati, so it is... it is something we can be proud of, that we have been in the fight for as long as it has been a fight. That's everything from me. Have a great day.